Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Karen Juttinen from Copper Country Intermediate School District. Karen has worked tirelessly to help students with disabilities transition to adulthood. She makes sure they have the life skills to make them as independent as they can be. Her lessons go well beyond the classroom. Karen's work ethic is to be admired, and her sense of humor makes it even more enjoyable to work with her. If you know an amazing educator like Karen, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Glad that you're along on this Sunday morning. We are brought to you, of course, by the Portage Health Foundation. Find out more about them and what they do at phfgive.org. Big plans coming up for the Keweenaw Co-op, which is a longstanding tradition here in the Copper Country. They're going to be moving. They're going to be expanding. All sorts of things are happening. It's very exciting. And so I thought we'd find out what's going on, get caught up with the co-op. Kurt Webb, the general manager, is here with me. Cynthia Hodges, who's a board member and is the capital campaign coordinator. She is also in the studio with me. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. The co-ops, let's start with a little bit of history. Well, actually, before we get there, Kurt, for those who may never have been there, not really understand what the co-op is, what do you do?
Sure. Well, we are a full-line grocery store focused on natural and organic and local foods and products. And yeah, we've been around since 1973, and
your current location in Hancock.
Sure. Yeah, we're at 1035 Ethel Avenue, so we're a little bit off the beaten path, and definitely that's one part of this project that we're working on is to overcome that and become central.
Well, it was a little neighborhood grocery store before you took it over.
And Lazari's Market was our predecessor.
Yeah. Indeed. And so we'll be talking a little bit about what the plans are for a bigger and better and a lot more visible location as we come along here. It is a co-op. Do you have to be a member to shop there?
You do not. No, everyone is welcome. Membership does come with benefits, but you know, it's we're there to serve the entire community.
Does it cost a lot of money to become a member? Do you have to buy in?
There is an investment required, and the total of that's $200. However, we do have a number of payment plans that make it very affordable for anyone.
Is that a one-time fee?
We avoid using the word one-time fee because there would be a possibility that sometime in the future that could change. However, yes, basically buying a share in the co-op.
And for the time being. And this is nonprofit, so it's not like you buy a share. Well, maybe I don't know. Do you possibly get money back if you turn a profit?
That's true. So we, technically we are, well, we're not a 501c3, although co-ops are incorporated under the nonprofit statutes in Michigan.
Yeah, you're not the type of organization that you can give a tax-deductible donation to.
Correct.
So if you go shopping at the co-op, you cannot deduct your entire grocery bill.
But one of the neat things about being an owner of the co-op is you get many member benefits. You want to talk about some of those, Kurt?
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess on the consumer side, basically we have deals, owner deals for members of the co-op. We have quarterly appreciation months, basically, where you can pick the shop of your choice and get a 10% discount off of that. A number of other perks, definitely. We also, you get to participate in basically the operation of the business, if you will, or at least oversight of it. The board of directors is elected from our members. So Cynthia was a member of the co-op before she was a board member. And they basically look at the big picture stuff, decide the direction of the co-op, hire a general manager, myself, and then I take it from there and hire a staff, run the store, serve our members and the rest of the community.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things about co-ops is it's a group of people that come together to do something good for the community, and that's how this co-op was started. They saw a need, and back in, what was it, 1973? And so got together and said, you know, we need some things here. And so it's a group of people bringing their resources to do good, and we're continuing with that.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there's a long history of co-op movements here in the Western Upper Peninsula. There are still a couple of the old legacy Finnish co-ops going, one in particular down in Bruce Crossing in our region. Yours kind of springs from something much different than that. And as you said, it came up because there were people who were looking for things that were not readily available. What kind of things?
Well, back in 73, I was talking to one of our owners from back in those days. It was started in the back of a restaurant called Funky's Karma Cafe that was in Houghton. And they would get together and, you know, we want whole wheat flour or we want tofu, all of these things that you couldn't find around up here then, and they would pool their resources to bulk buy.
Now, we have a lot of grocery stores, and I suspect that those grocery stores now have wider selections, perhaps, than they did 40, 50 years ago when this all got started. Is there still a need, and what kind of things do you have that the average grocery store does not carry?
Yeah, you're correct that there is definitely some crossover in product line with pretty much every store out there now. However, we do focus on having organic selections in pretty much every category, anywhere we can get it anyway we do, as well as rounding out wherever we can with local product. We're smaller and more nimble, so I think we have the capacity to work with smaller producers and really kind of basically make that effort to be able to provide a lot wider selection. And I would say also we work with some alternative suppliers that not everyone in the area does, and so that gives us access to some things, downstate Michigan products being one example that we get through a particular supplier that comes our way.
One of the things I'm really proud about is I like to consider our co-op a hyper-local business incubator. So we've had some companies that got their startup here, local bakers, coffee makers, all that stuff, that we provided their first step into retail, right? So ones that come to mind, Skinny Pete's, Borisma Family Roots, they grow a lot of greens and things for the market. There's Superior Mycology doing mushrooms. We've had quite a few, and it's great to be a part of that. Local food's super important to me. That's why I joined the co-op. I also joined because I like to cook, and you can get ingredients there that you can't get anywhere, and it's great.
Personal question. Do you stock almond paste?
Go ahead, tell them.
We have stocked almond paste. My finger is not on the pulse of everything on the shelves right now.
But there's a chance, you're telling me.
We've definitely have in the past, and whether there's still some there, I would have to check and get back with you.
I have an old Dutch family recipe.
Oh, okay.
Banquette.
That sounds good.
I have a craving to make some banquette.
All right, well, we're going to have to make that happen. That sounds great.
See if I can go down. And it's not going to happen right away because it's one of those things that takes 2 days to make.
Oh, okay.
You got to knead the dough and let it rise for 24 hours and that kind of thing. So it's going to come at a special time at some point.
But excellent.
I've had a hankering to make it, and I need some almond paste. And that's not the kind of thing that you can find just anywhere. So you mentioned the locally grown products.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a significant trend in the past several years. Locally, we've been putting an emphasis on this. The state has been putting an emphasis on this as well, haven't they? Trying to get these small producers moving forward and growing.
Well, that's true. And, you know, Kurt can tell you more about this, but part of our funding for the new store is we're working on some grants that are going in that direction. So I was thinking of the value-added food access grant that we're looking at from MDARD. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, there's an annual cycle of granting from Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. And this particular grant looks at both assisting folks who are doing production and doing the value added. So if they need to process whatever it is that they're growing and that kind of stuff, but also on outlets that focus on supporting those folks and basically providing access to fresh and local food, or Michigan-grown food for sure.
Now, locally grown food, locally produced products, they still, of course, wind up having to meet all of the safety requirements, all of the various rules and regulations that even big producers have to meet. Is that a challenge for your local producers? And is that a challenge for you at the co-op to make sure that those products that come in have met those standards?
It is a bit of a challenge. There's been support, though, from some some pilot programs that we participated in a few years back where they were working as they were started developing the GAP program, the Good Agricultural Practices Program, to kind of figure out how to make that process easier for small producers who don't necessarily have the scale or the funds to be able to really afford to go through the whole major process. So it was kind of this group certification project that we participated in. But anyway, there's a lot of resources from that and also from the Upper Peninsula or UP Food Exchange that basically provides resources that we can provide to our growers and definitely help them understand the needs there and work through that process.
Do you have methods of networking with other similar organizations around the state and the upper Midwest, or are you kind of an island unto yourself?
Oh, we definitely do. We other co-ops in particular, we spend a lot of time talking with each other, sharing ideas, sharing best practices. So we are actually part of a national cooperative group, and so we network with 150 co-ops, but we have a subset of us, the Great Lakes co-ops, that we get together virtually at least every month and in person when we can, and just kind of help each other, support each other, and kind of grow the co-op sector as a whole.
I like to call it a co-op of co-ops.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. The local products that you get in, some manufactured, some grown, if somebody is doing that and they're not associated with you and they think that they might like to be, how do they make an application to do that?
First step is probably really just a call to the store and talking to the appropriate buyer or manager in a department, and just they can have a bit of an exchange there to kind of understand, one, is that something that we have a need for, or does it fit what we would be looking for? And then we can learn a little more about them, their process, and, you know, how ready they are to kind of hit the retail shelves.
And if they're not ready, I would assume maybe you could offer some guidance.
If we have some information, and we can definitely point them in the right direction if it's beyond our scope.
How are those local contributors compensated? Do they send you their products on consignment, or do you purchase them at a wholesale cost?
We, for the most part, I would say entirely it's wholesale relationship.
Okay, so if somebody does get in with you, there'll be a fixed price and they'll be compensated for product that
correct
that they provide.
The cool thing about the new store is that we're going to have a lot more space to have a lot more products, so I'm pretty fired up about that. And, any chance I can get to buy, more local stuff is going to be great.
So if I had a germ of an idea in the back of my mind, I'm not producing it yet. Let's say that I want to sell Old Dutch Banquette with almond paste to everybody in the Copper
Country. I see a theme here. Now's the time you might want to start thinking about it.
Well, yeah, this might be an opportunity because, and I suppose if I was going to have this germ of an idea, and I suppose there are people who have this because there are lots of wonderful cooks and bakers here in the Copper Country.
Mm-hmm.
Now might be the time to talk with you folks and say, hey, I know that you're going to be able to take in more. What do you need? Do you have kind of a wish list?
That's a good question. I think if we were talking to individual buyers in their departments, they know where the gaps are for sure. I don't know that we've compiled that into a big document.
I will tell you what. Owners tell me all the time, and they're looking forward to, is more local fresh produce. I don't think we could ever get too much of that, you know. So there's people that are just really love the idea of having local fresh produce.
What kind of local fresh produce do you have? Obviously, we can't grow everything here. Our growing season is relatively short. What kind of fresh produce do you have in the store?
Well, a pretty broad selection in the vegetable department. Obviously, it comes just getting started now, but your early stuff is coming in terms of greens, radishes, that kind of stuff. We'll have all the root vegetables. On the fruit side, it's a little more sparse, but we have local apples, pears, some number of berries that come in, and
jams, jellies.
Sure, yeah, honey. a lot of value-added stuff as well that goes with that, eggs, etc.
Things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Talking with Kurt Webb, he is the general manager of the Keweenaw Co-op, and Cynthia Hodges is a board member and the coordinator of their capital campaign because they're going to be doing a major expansion. I was surprised in looking over some of the literature that came in along with this at how much business the co-op already does. For a small storefront, you guys are turning.
It's true. We have been growing year over year for as long as I've been there and before. And so, yeah, I think we've almost doubled in sales in the last 10 years, and we will likely surpass $5 million this year.
That would certainly be the impetus to going to the larger and more visible location, I would say.
Indeed. I have said for many years, this growth, we just can't handle any more growth in this store, and then we grow some more. And so, but it is definitely, I hear from folks that, they drive by because there was nowhere to park, or, there's
just
any number of reasons that when we're really busy at a peak time, we probably are missing out on some opportunities to sell some more good product.
Well, and as you mentioned, you are not exactly on the beaten track right now. So the fact that you have seen that kind of growth in kind of an off location would certainly be a clue that perhaps in a better location, more growth.
Right. People are excited about it, too. I will say, we're going to have 60 parking spots instead of, I don't know, how many do we have now? Six?
I was going to say,
nine or ten.
Six up there, maybe.
Nine or ten, depending on how well people park.
Yeah, we'll have a shipping dock, which, everybody says that doesn't sound very glamorous, but it does to us because right now, especially if you're shopping on the day that the truck comes, you're like stepping over boxes and everything. So it's going to be great. It's going to be more accessible for people. We're going to have wider aisles. People can get through there, even more accessible from the roads, either, Hancock Street or Quincy. And also, I was just thinking about this the other day, more accessible for wheelchairs. It's just going to be
absolutely
a great place to shop. We're going to have a sit-down deli.
A little bit wider aisles, perhaps.
Yep. Sit-down deli. People right now buy our great deli sandwiches and they have to take them away. We're going to have sit-down coffee, which I'm pretty fired up about. It's just going to be outstanding. We're going to have, bike racks. It'll be easier to get to. It's just going to be a great location. And, we're occupying an unused space now in Hancock, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, because if I were running a food store, the first place I would look for if I was going to expand is, let's buy a car dealership. When I first saw that, I thought that I understand the location thing, but I'm not sure it makes sense for the building. And as I looked at some of your plans, I thought, it makes a lot more sense. You are going to expand the building, right? And we should first specify where this building is. What did you choose?
Sure. Well, it was, for those who have been around for a long time, it was Bruno's Motors for many years. And after that, Keweenaw Buick GMC. So 612 Quincy is the actual address, but it also has frontage on Hancock Street. So between Northern Auto and McGann's, if you would think about those landmarks.
Yep, right downtown in Hancock. Does this make it accessible? I don't think we necessarily meet the standard here, but I hear about what they call food deserts. There are residential areas in major cities where there are no food outlets. And, downtown Hancock, if you don't have vehicle, there's no place you can go to, really, since Monticello's closed down, and they were not really full service in their last few years. There's no place you can walk to get your groceries. Now you'll have some options.
Yes, definitely walk to. And I've talked to the community members, and they're very excited about that. It's just, you can just walk down the street and get what you need. So it's going to be great.
Finlandia students are going to be flooding this place.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of people working downtown Hancock as well, so we also feel pretty good about lunchtime and providing another great option.
In fact,
there for
I was
those
at
folks.
McGann's just yesterday, and they are chomping at the bit because it's like I can walk across the street and have lunch. It's going to be great.
Yeah, this is accessible from both the front and the back,
mm-hmm.
because that property stretches all the way from Quincy over to Hancock.
Yeah.
So, among other things, that'll put your delivery space in the back and out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But will there be a back entrance and parking on that back side that people can use?
So primarily we'll be staff parking and deliveries down there.
Okay.
However, we're not going to fill it up. We, you know, it's one thing that has been amazing to me as we've been working through this. So it's a 10,000 square foot building. We're putting a 4,000 square foot addition on. But how quickly you can fill up 14,000 square feet with just running a grocery store and then having all the supporting stuff in the back end to do it. And so it was difficult to make a customer-friendly entrance in the back at the lower level. However, we're looking at, site plan-wise, at least having stairs so that there would be access for folks who wanted to park there, get a little exercise getting up to the upper level, because the retail space will all be on the upper level facing Quincy Street.
My friends call this, that they know that I call this Todd's rule of space. Todd's rule of space is the amount of stuff you have will expand to exceed the amount of space you allot. And if you increase the amount of space you allot, the amount of stuff you have will magically expand to fill it. So you're experiencing this, and nice to see that the laws of physics apply to co-ops as well as to me. So you're going to buy it, you're going to put 4,000 square feet onto it. Obviously, this ain't cheap. How much money do you need to pull it off?
Well, the total plan right now is $7 million. And we're, as I'd mentioned before, we're getting cash from a number of sources. One is we have a lot of cash on hand. We're also having some bank loans and then some community grants we're going after. And most importantly, we're having a capital campaign. And so what that means is we are asking the community to invest in our store. And that's what I'm leading for the co-op. One of the neat things about being able to do this, I can't think of any other business I can invest in the Copper Country myself personally. And I can walk in there and see it every day. So that's part of the reason why I'm enthusiastic about our campaign.
So it's a lot of money, but excuse me, you said you've got some saved up. When did you start maybe putting some funds aside for this possibility?
When I started in my job, which is nearly 20 years ago now, or 17 years ago in this actual position, but 20 years at the co-op, we were looking at a relocation at that time. It didn't really add up, and it wasn't, it just really wasn't the right thing to do. But since then, we've been slowly building cash, building our systems, building our capacity for expansion. And in the last 5 years, I think we really got serious and kind of started to make things happen. So we've been looking for a site, and
was there something that inspired you to pull the trigger right at this point? Because as you said, this is something you've been looking at a long time. What really said, okay, now?
Well, a convergence of a few different things. I mean, I think financially we were feeling like, okay, we actually can put together something that we could actually pull off here, was one piece. Secondly, we'd been looking at sites. I mean, whenever something would come on the market, or even if it didn't come on the market, if there was some potential there, I was always looking, but it was hard to find a place that had enough square footage, enough parking, the visibility and access that we needed in one of the downtowns. We really wanted to be downtown and kind of support that, both the, I guess, the vibrancy of a downtown as well as the folks that don't have food access downtown.
And the walkability part.
Yeah,
walkability.
And before we get done here, because we're kind of getting close on time, I want Cynthia to make sure that we share how people can make an investment in the Keweenaw Co-op and what do they get for it?
Sure. All right. So our capital campaign is all about investing in our new store, and we're trying to raise $1 million in June here so we can put a spade in the ground on our renovation starting in August. And if we do that, if we raise $1 million, we can get, the new store can be open as soon as August of 2023. So I'd like to encourage folks to do it. Anyone that's a Michigan resident can invest. The minimum to invest is $2,000, but we're going to need investors to invest $10,000, $20,000 or more to make this happen. Right now we have about $550,000 toward our goal, and I'd like to get to $1 million by the end of this month. If you're interested, just email me at invest@keweenaw.coop.
Invest@keweenaw.coop. You have Facebook and web presence. Is that information posted there as well?
It is, absolutely.
Good. So, and you mentioned the timetable. If things go well, maybe you can start construction late this summer, but basically a year to make it all work?
Yeah, we're working toward that goal. That's our plan. You know, I like to say about investing in our co-op, when you do it, your money works so hard it's sweat. And, you know, what I mean by that is not only is it bringing you a respectable rate of return, which we pay between 2 and 4% dividends on your investment, it also provides local jobs for this construction project, for the bakers, the coffee roasters, those farmers. So, you know, when you invest, not only are you helping your own bank account, you are helping the community.
So check with the Keweenaw Co-op if you're interested in investing. And thank you, Kurt Webb, General Manager, and Cynthia Hodges, coordinating the capital campaign, for joining me on Copper Country today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment.